Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and we are exploring a variety of topics on nature spirituality. And tonight, we'll be taking a look at goddesses, gods, and pantheons as part of our Divine Alignments series. I invite you in the next few moments to call to the divine in a deity form or forms that you have connections with. And for those of you who are connecting with this live streaming workshop by Facebook, I invite you to share the name or names of a form of deity that you feel connected with. Divine, we call to you, we call to you as Great Mother, Great Goddess, as Goddesses of many kinds. Divine, we call to you as Great Father, Great God, God of many kinds. Divine, as deity, we call to you across cultures, across spiritual traditions, across time, around the world. We honor you, each in our own ways, by the name or names that we are aligned with. Divine as Goddess, divine as God, divine as divine unity, as creator, as creative source, divine as love, divine, come, be with us, guide our journey in exploring divinities. So be it. So the divine can take many different forms, and perhaps the form that most people across time and in the present day are most connected with is that of deity or divinity. In some cases, this may be a creative or creator, sacred form of the divine. It might be a creator goddess, a creator god, a creator that's beyond a gender manifestation. And tonight, I'm going to share with you some of the diversity of goddesses and gods, of pantheons, which are groupings of deities. I have with me on an altar a multicultural, interreligious convergence of gods and goddesses and divine forms. For some people, they prefer to work with a particular form of the divine, a singular form. Indeed, there are forms of religion that are monotheistic, which means one God or one deity. Many forms of nature spirituality are polytheistic, which means that there is more than one divinity. And typically, that would include goddesses and gods. And in some pantheons, in some groupings of divinities, gender can be changeable, fluid, and mysterious. I invite you to call to mind your earliest understanding of deity. If you were raised in a particular form of religion, spirituality, or philosophy, call to mind what concept, what name, what form, or forms you connected with early on. Indeed, for some people, their earliest understandings of deity comes through upbringing. Is there an established religion, spirituality, or philosophy of the family group or the household where one has been raised in? For myself, I was raised Christian, and I became familiar not only with the concept of God, but of Trinity. And although most will consider Christianity as a monotheistic religion, the Trinity brings three different forms of divinity into view. As I was growing up, I also became acquainted with stories from the ancients through my studies of the Latin language and classical ways. And it was through my understandings and studies of ancient Greek and ancient Roman cultures that I came to understand that humankind had diversity in terms of how the divine was conceptualized. As I grew into adulthood, I became aware that I personally had a number of connections with deity. I connected and continue to connect with a universal source, force, interconnecting divine form. And I also, over time, have developed relationships with very specific forms of goddesses and gods and other types of deities. I have what you would call a multicultural, multi-spiritual pantheon, and some of the forms that I have alignments with are represented on the altar that I have with me, and I'll be talking about some of these forms tonight. For many people, the preference is to have a pantheon or a system for connecting with deity that is rooted in a particular culture, in a particular religion, and that too is a way to approach the divine and to be connected. Part of my diversity in my own practices has a lot to do with my explorations with the divine in nature communion. Some of my own experiences also come from intellectual studies and from experiences in taking part in ceremonies facilitated by others, as well as ceremonies that I've done for myself personally as part of spiritual practice, as well as ceremonies that I've facilitated with others. Part of my work with nature spirituality does involve holding ceremonies, creating ceremonies, facilitating ceremonies for people of many different spiritual paths, beliefs, religions, philosophies. And for that reason, I have come up with some approaches to honor the diversity as well as to find some common ground that connects all of that together. I'd like to share some information now about goddesses and gods. And indeed, most deities fall into one of those two categories. I'm beginning with goddesses because there is less information about goddess spirituality in the world today as there is taking a look at religions that emphasize or that are totally focused on male deity forms. Yet, in recent decades, as goddess studies has emerged as a field of study and research, much more is being known, and archaeological artifacts and sites, old texts, are being looked at with new eyes, and there is now a more expanded understanding of what people across time around the world have connected with, aligned with, as it came to deity. Some of the oldest forms of divinity, of deity, are said to be goddess forms. Indeed, there are old images of female forms that have been found at a variety of old sites. Although we don't have written instructions describing what their purpose is and was, and to what extent they were religious figures, many people have come to understand some of these old, and they're sometimes known as goddess figurines or Venus figurines, very likely had a religious and spiritual dimension to them. As goddess spirituality and as contemporary paganism have emerged in the 20th century, going now into the 21st century, a number of people have looked to the past and looked to some of these ancient images and whether in ancient times they were used to represent the planet Earth, the biosphere, the Earth Mother, they have become symbols for that now. And as we look at different peoples in different places, we can come to realize that goddess forms are very diverse. Some say, and looking at deity, that all goddesses are part of one great goddess, and all gods are part of one great god. However, not everyone holds that viewpoint. And while there certainly can be a connection of a all-encompassing goddess, all goddess of sorts, we also need to be aware that goddess forms can be quite distinct. And amongst people who are pagans and other nature spiritual practitioners today, that for some people, working with a specific goddess form from a particular time and place and culture is a preferred way of spiritual practice. In contemporary paganism, some people will look at the goddess as a threefold goddess and have linked those three aspects with phases of the moon. The waxing moon, the maiden. The full moon, the mother. The waning moon, the crone. And have a triple goddess image that is used as part of spiritual practice. Sometimes that takes the form of goddesses, young, middle-aged, and old. Sometimes those three phases of the moon, the waxing crescent, the waning crescent, and the full moon disc. The fourth phase of the moon, when it's connected with deity, often is seen as a form of the crone, or some people will call it the mystery phase of the moon. When the new moon, dark moon, happens in the lunation, in the lunar cycle, it's the beginning and the ending of that lunar cycle. Now, in some other cases involving a triplicity of goddesses, it might be what's known as the mothers. And indeed, there are some triple mother images that have survived that have come from old Germany when ancient Romans were there in that place where Roman religion and Germanic religion merged. And the three mothers are seen as three different goddess forms for some practitioners, or three aspects of a central great mother image. Often, she is honored at winter solstice time, and the eve of winter solstice, or over the last 1,000 years or so, as Christianity became a dominant influence in old Europe, would be on Christmas Eve. So the time of the mothers is actually acknowledging a triplicity of goddesses that are all mother forms. Sometimes there'll be a dual goddess, and perhaps one of the most known of the dual goddesses really goes back to Demeter and Persephone from the ancient Greek religion. Persephone being the daughter, Demeter being the mother. In fact, the Eleusinian Mysteries, which was a mystery religion in Old Greece, had those two goddesses as an important part of that tradition. There were other goddesses as well that are part of the Persephone goes to the underworld and reemerges story. Balbo and Hecate are two other goddesses that have connections there. Sometimes the goddess is perceived as a goddess that changes age through the seasons. And for those who celebrate holidays of the Wheel of the Year, at Samhain time, late October, early November in the Northern Hemisphere, you have the crone goddess, wise old woman. And going into winter solstice, the mother giving birth to a sun god. Going into the beginning of February, they transform into a maiden of light in some traditions. Bridget the Maiden is one form. Going into spring equinox, the goddess of dawn and spring also in a young form, coming to the beginning of May, the goddess as May Queen, as flower, a aging goddess, a maturing goddess, and then coming to summer solstice, the Great Mother, the goddess of growing things, and Harvest Mother, going into Lunasa in late July, early August, and the Abundant Mother at fall equinox time. One of the things to be aware of is that the form that a goddess can take depends on the practitioner and what connections with religion are predominant, preferred, or totally the focus. You'll find with God forms that you also have some pairings, and perhaps the pairing that's most known about in contemporary paganism is that of the Oak King and the Holly King. And these are forms of the god that are connected with at solstice time. At winter solstice, the Oak King takes over until the summer solstice, when Oak King is at his power, in which case the Holly King takes on the next half of the year until winter solstice time, when the cycle repeats. There are forms of the god that are known as the Green God, and Jack in the Green, connected with the springtime, and some have talked about the jack-o'-lantern as being a form of Jack in the Green, connected with the autumn going into the winter time of year. These are just a few examples of the diversity that there is. And I'm going to share some experiences and connections with some of the deities that I have alignments with. I've had an alignment with Bridget, and she originated as a Celtic goddess, and I call her a multicultural interreligious goddess. Well, she became well known amongst different Celtic peoples as Europe became Christianized. She actually took on a Christian form as Saint Bridget, and I honor her in both those aspects, as a Celtic goddess and as a Christian saint, seeing those dimensions of this divine form as being interconnected. She's a goddess of fire, a goddess of water, a goddess of inspiration, healing, the forge, has many connections, sacred creatures connected with her, including the swan and sheep and the snake. And she is sometimes depicted in a maiden form, sometimes as a mother, and sometimes as a wise old woman. Another form of the divine that I've had connections with comes from Africa to the Caribbean, Imaya, Yemaya. I had strong connections with the ocean ever since I was a young girl, and loved the color, that turquoise blue color, loving quartz crystals. And it wasn't until many years later that I realized that I had resonance connection with Yemaya. I was taking part in a ceremony at our Pagan Spirit Gathering one June, many years ago, and I, during the ceremony, was connecting with a ritual that was honoring her, and it was done by a priest of an Afro-Caribbean tradition who was from Canada but had connections with old traditions. And during that ceremony, I found myself resonating with her, and my own connection with Yemaya got much stronger after that. With Bridget, I had been connected with her lore for many years, but didn't realize part of my alignment and connection with her really came from some ancestral connections. I found through some research of my Scottish heritage that one of the lines of my father's mother's side went back in time and included people who tended her sacred site in Abernethy, Fife, Scotland. And I find that in looking at divine forms, that each of the sacred forms that are part of my own spiritual practice today have really emerged not so much by my choice, but by discovery of a resonance of a connection that has emerged as I've gone about spiritual work and life. One way that I conceptualize goddess and God as being part of the great mystery, and this wonderful ceramic image, which shows a horned god of the woods on one side connected with the sun and a moon goddess on the other side. This was an image that was given to me and my husband Dennis at our hand fasting time. And I use this image to help me connect with the understanding of goddess and God being part of a grand unity, a great mystery, giving birth to life in the world. Many years ago, I had occasion to connect with Eastern religion, and part of that was through the study of yoga. And along the way, I became aware of an elephant-headed god by the name of Ganesh, or Ganesha. And this is an image that is among the Ganeshas in our own household. I'm not Hindu. I respect those who are practitioners of the Hindu religion. And I mention Ganesh because I feel Ganesh connected with me and my husband rather than us really seeking him out, especially in his attributes of removing obstacles. And one of the amazing things that I've found is that I've encountered people who have multicultural and interreligious pantheons, such as myself, that also have found some connections with this amazing form of God. I do think if you find yourself connecting with a god or goddess form, that from a culture, from a society that you do not know much about, it's important to take some time out and do some exploration about that and be respectful of the way that you approach the deity, and to do so in a way that also respects those who honor that deity within their own pantheon and religious tradition. I have a number of different images here, and one that I got many years ago is the image of the cat goddess Bast. And although the ancient Egyptian religion, as it once was practiced, and it went through a lot of different changes over several thousand years, it's being revived and continuing to be practiced by many people. Although I don't have Egyptian heritage, I have had a strong connection with Bast since I was a very young girl. And perhaps that goes back to seeing Bast appear in pop culture in The Three Lives of Thomasina, a Disney film about a cat and a near-death experience. Indeed, Bast, the goddess, actually appears in the movie. And you can even find some clips of that out on YouTube. Bast is a goddess of pleasure, a goddess of healing, of joy, of dance. In fact, you notice that I use a rhythm instrument for many of my videos and rituals. It's a sistrum, and this is the more folk version of it, the forked wand version, the sistrum that's with my Bast image, which has the loop on top, is more traditional from old Egypt, and there are people today that are continuing the use of the sistrum for sacred dance and music, as well as honoring Bast. Another deity that I've had a connection with since I was very young is Mother Goose. What? Mother Goose? A goddess? Hulda was her name in old Germany. And many people say that the reason that the goose was connected with Hulda was the magic associated with that creature. Indeed, I have a print that's over 100 years old, a lithograph that actually has a Yuletide scene with Santa, a gift bringer, and Hulda, who actually was a gift bringer as well. Some forms of goddess, god, are rooted in concepts, ideals, virtues. And I've had a connection with the Roman religion ever since I began studying Latin back in my junior high school days. And some concepts, or virtues as they were called, took anthropomorphic forms of deity, and one that many people see as a symbol of the United States of America, the Statue of Liberty, is based on Libertas, the goddess of freedom. And my deity connections with her go deep and wide. Another form that I work with is her as freedom goddess, and an image of her in an American freedom goddess form has her in Libertas clothing, but with a feathered headdress on her head. And I have a small reproduction of the Statue of Freedom that's atop the Capitol of the USA in Washington, D.C., and have had the experiences of being able to see that firsthand, as well as the full-size reproduction that's now on display in the Visitor Center. But in addition to looking at liberty, we have justice. And justice, too, is a goddess. In fact, you will see images of her at public buildings, courthouses in particular. And sometimes justice has a blindfold on, and sometimes she does not. The blindfold represents impartiality, But if you study Lady Justice and her origins, also in ancient Rome, early on, she did not have a blindfold. She was all-seeing, and that all-seeing aspect was what helped her make good decisions regarding doling out justice. I had my life go through some major transformations when, as president of Eta Sigma Phi, the Classics Honor Society, while I was at the College of William and Mary doing my undergraduate studies, I decided, in addition to having the intellectual discussions of the classics, that it was important as part of studies to experience the classics. Hence, I hatched a plan, got the faculty of the classics department on campus on board, as well as even got a permit from the college administration to conduct an ancient rite of spring in a place called the Sunken Garden in the center of campus that really dates back to its colonial times. William and Mary was begun in 1693, and the building called the Rim Building, which is really close to the Sunken Garden, is the oldest academic building still in operation in the USA. And I've spoken there, as well as in my college days there, took classes. And what I liked about the Sunken Garden, it was a long, flat space. It was in the center part of campus at that time. And we did a procession. We got ourselves dressed up in ancient attire, flowing robes. I had a tambourine on one hand and a thyrsus, which is a Dionysian wand, and led the procession, and we called on Dionysus and Mother Earth, Gaia, Terra, as part of that ceremony. Well, up to this point, I had had connections with different forms of the divine, but had not fully experienced what I would call an intense, deep alignment. For when I guided that ceremony and called out the name of the god Dionysus, yo, Avo, hey, indeed, I experienced his presence. Now, Dionysus is a complicated god form and a fun god form. He is associated with grapes and wine. He's associated with ecstasy, and clearly we were having a great time welcoming in the spring. But in some forms, he actually morphs his gender. And there are people who are looking for god forms, goddess forms that are more gender fluid, and he certainly is a good candidate for some who are seeking that connection. As a result of experiencing Dionysus and Mother Earth in that ceremony, I was set on the path of doing priestess work, and it deepened my understanding of ancient sacred ways of nature, and I continue to grow in my understanding and my alignment for not only the Mother Earth that I called, but Dionysus and his power. Another form of god that I have used over time and continue to work with is something called the green god or the green man. And yes, they're green women and green spirit, but by far, most of the imagery that we have really are in vegetative god forms. In fact, some say Dionysus is actually a form of the green god. And in looking at the great variety of divine forms, I don't attempt to work with everybody at once, but I see them all as forms of Goddess and God that I work with in my own life, a form that also has gone around the world, and while rooted in traditions from Asia, Kuan Yin, Goddess of Compassion, and you'll see forms of her. Sometimes she is holding multiple things, sometimes she has multiple arms. I have a whole Kuan Yin altar at my home, and for me, working with Kuan Yin is a way that I have come to learn to deepen my understanding of compassion and love. And clearly, Kuan Yin is needed at this time. So these are just a few of gods and goddesses that I personally have worked with. But what I'd like to share with you now are some ideas about how you can come to deepen your own connection with a goddess, a god, or a whole pantheon, if that is what you're drawn to as part of your spiritual practice. First of all, pay attention to what alignments you have with you already. You might not call them alignments, but these are special connections, special relationships. And some people have those connections as a result of studying, reading a story, seeing a piece of art, hearing some music, watching a movie. The gods will come to us in a variety of different ways. Yes, we can intentionally study and seek to form a relationship. That's one approach. But for many people, the connection happens in what I call a spontaneous alignment. I had that experience with Sophia, another form of goddess. She came to me in a dream. And as a result of that dream, I came to learn about her. I did research on her, and I did meditative work to deepen my understanding of her and strengthen my connection. So pay attention to what type of experiences have happened in the past, and as you continue your own path, what kinds of encounters you may have with a goddess or a god. And if you find, as you have taken part in a ceremony or encountered some story or art in which you feel a resonance, a connection, then I would invite you to take some time to write about it, to reflect about it, and to actually offer a prayer to the divinity to get a sense of where that relationship might be able to go. Now, some people find it too complicated or just not workable for themselves to have a pantheon which has deity forms from different ages and different places on the planet and different cultures and spiritualities. And indeed, for some people, they identify with a particular pantheon. One of the most known of the pantheons comes from the old Greek religion, the Olympian pantheon, 12 gods and goddesses. And as you delve into Greek religion from the pagan past, you'll recognize that even before the Olympians came into being as a thing for humankind to worship and connect with, that there were other forms of the divine that are rooted in that culture as well. And some of my strongest connections are not only with Olympian deities, but from nature spirits that have connections with the ancient Greeks. And Asclepius, the god of healing dreams. Also in this series, I'll be sharing information about spiritual community and the divine connections that happen with spiritual community. And Asclepius is an example of a god of healing dreams that is honored by people from many different parts of the world. Some say that Asclepius actually began as a human, and he made the transition into hero and demigod into god. So that's another dimension when you look at divinity, is where the roots of the particular divinity that you feel a connection with are. So I think in addition to paying attention to spontaneous encounters, doing some studies, it's important to have spiritual practice as you seek to strengthen or start a connection with a goddess or a god, as you seek to work with a pantheon. And I have several things I'd like to suggest as a way of strengthening and developing and even starting a connection with the divine form. One is to make a place in your home area where you can create an altar or a shrine and to find an image or a symbol that represents that deity to you. To spend time creating the space and then working with that space as a connection point, a nexus, a portal for work with that particular form of god or goddess. Kindling incense as an offering, kindling a candle, putting other types of offerings, food and drink are typically used in connection with god and goddess shrines. But an offering can also take the form of prayer, of song, of poem, something you've created, something that you found and adapted, or something that may have its roots in the ancient past. In September of 2019, for Global Climate Strike Day, I had the opportunity to open an interreligious service in Madison, Wisconsin, and we were representing different faith traditions, and I was there representing paganism and nature spirituality, and I chose to use an English translation from an Orphic hymn to Gaia. I tweaked a couple of the English words to be more suitable for the occasion. For me, I not only called on Gaia in an ancient way, translated into English, but I also called on her in the here and now. And as you do work with goddesses and gods and pantheons, I think it's important to recognize that having practice, reverence, reflection, communion, meditation are all powerful ways of strengthening that connection and being able to get guidance and to be appreciative of that form of your spiritual life. In my own home, I have particular places that are associated with particular divine forms that I work with in my own practice. In fact, I have the largest bathroom in our house, which is next to my bedroom, is a shrine to the Ocean Mother, to the ocean. And a number of the images come from different parts of the world that honor the ocean as mother. But in my ocean shrine area, I also recognize that the ocean can take other forms. Indeed, McManan McAleer from the Celtic folk is a god of the sea, Poseidon, Neptune, and I have some images of them as well. Create a space, do study, do offerings, invocations, rituals, and thanksgiving. As with any relationship, the connection grows stronger the more time you spend together, and relationship should be of more balance, calling for aid when you need it, but also expressing appreciation. As you do your journey and working with goddesses and gods and pantheons, I think you'll find it helpful if you have a place, a method, where you write down and journal about your experiences and journal about things that you have discovered through study as well as from your own encounters. If you're from a tradition and you do group work and there are particular forms of the divine that you're aligned with, it's a group practice, it's important to get a good understanding of what the group connection is with that form of divinity and to find a way that that works within your personal life as well. I was part of a ceremonial magical lodge many years ago in my early priestess life, and Bast was the form of the divine that we called upon for all of our ceremonies. And indeed, as a result of working as priestess of a ceremonial lodge and invoking Bast every week for many, many months, I had a dream of Boss. She came to me. I happened to be visiting family in the Washington, D.C. area when I had the dream. And in the dream, I had a sense that I had connected with her in another life. And I saw a place with objects that were connected with her honoring. Now, was this a past life recall? Was it coming from a resonance of having worked with her? I still reflect on that, but when I get something pretty specific in a dream, the scientist in me joins forces with the mystic and goes and checks it out, and that's what I did. The following day, I went to a museum and was able to go to a place. It was not for public view, but I was doors open for me, and I was able to actually go to a place where objects from ancient Egypt were. I consider that as the goddess at work in my own life, not only strengthening my understanding of her, but by being given permission through the authorities at the museum to actually go into a place where these objects had been stored and getting to handle them. The moment I touched the objects, and it took a while to go through a lot of drawers of artifacts before I found the ones that were in my dream, it was electrifying. Felt an energy go through me. For me, it's not a question about whether goddesses or gods exist. I know for myself, through my own direct encounters, that they do. I also recognize that in addition to working with specific divinities, that part of my path is to also work with the divine in a more universal way. I do not see a conflict between that universalism and specific work with divinities. So some additional things to keep in mind. There are different types of pantheons. I think the best pantheon for somebody who is a diverse practitioner such as myself is one that naturally emerges through your own spiritual life and your spiritual work. But there are specific pantheons that are connected with particular cultures and spiritual traditions. And if you are working with a pantheon, a heathen pantheon, a Celtic pantheon, a Mayan pantheon, many different religions and pantheons, that it's important to be respectful of the culture where that pantheon is rooted, and if at all possible, to have instruction with people that have the backstory on a number of the divinities, and to do other work outside of that pantheon in a way that complements rather than clashes with the work that you do. I'm very thankful to all of you who have joined in tonight. These are just some of my thoughts and experiences about goddesses, gods, and pantheons. And indeed, if there's interest, I hope to be able to do some additional podcasts and videos taking a look at more specifics of the different forms of the divine that I have alignments with and that I've encountered in my work with others. So if you have some particular interest in getting a workshop, a video, a podcast in the future, I invite you to put some of those ideas into the chat if you're with us on Facebook Live. And for all of you listening via CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, listening live or be listening later, and for those of you on Facebook watching live or watching later, I thank you all for tuning in. So when you call upon the divine, it is a good idea to also give thanks. Divine ones, we call to you and honor you, we thank you. Great goddess, as one and many, great God, as one and many, great mystery, great unity, divine, we celebrate you, we honor you. Continue to be in our lives, each of us, be guided by your wisdom in the form or forms that are appropriate for each of us and for you. We give thanks to Mother Goddess, Father God, divine in all your forms. Be with us, be in us, guide us, aid us, now and in times to come. We give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks. For more information about Circle Sanctuary and the wide variety of podcasts that we have happening at CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, find us on Facebook or find us on the web at the Circle Sanctuary website. And you can get more information about the work that I'm doing with Circle Sanctuary and beyond at Selena Fox Updates. That's my Facebook page at Selena _ Fox. That's Twitter. And Selena Fox on Instagram, Instagram TV, and YouTube. I'll be doing a variety of online workshops and rituals this month, and you can find out more about all of those things at my Facebook notes on Summertime Magic with Selena Fox. Thank you all for being part of our time exploring goddesses, gods, and pantheons. And a special thanks to our CSMP team, to David and Jeanette Ewing, that manage the station and help with engineering, with Deborah Rose and Laura Gonzalez and Casey Pope. Want to give thanks to all of the CSMP team and to all our members of Circle Sanctuary that make it possible for us to be able to share information and ceremony, meditations, and connections with people not only across the U.S., but other parts of the world. Many thanks and many blessings. Good night.
Water.
you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.